You're listening to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks and co-host Angelia Savage. We seek to help you relate well so you can live well in all aspects of your life.
Welcome to the show that will change your life for the rest of your life. This is Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks, and I'm your co-host, Angelia Savage, and this is a show that's going to help you connect and communicate better with everyone around you, because when we learn to communicate better with one another, we stand in our power, and ultimately, we just become a better spouse or a better parent, a better employee or employer. Basically, we become a better human being, the one that God intended us to be all along. And this is why Relate Well was created by Dr. Rick Marks. He has a true passion to continually help others become the best version of themselves when relating to each other. So also known as Dr. Rick, welcome to the show this evening. How are you?
I'm doing really well. And yourself?
I am doing wonderful.
I am looking forward to today because last week we talked about patience, one of the first two traits of love, and we get to talk about the second one today.
Absolutely. Yeah, we had a great show last week. We talked about a lot last week.
We really did. Particularly, you know, I got some feedback from some folks around the radio show around emotional abuse, and we agreed that we were going to pass it on or do another segment, which we did last week. But I had someone who actually heard the first one and said, you know, I need to do some more research around that. It was a therapist because they've heard of gaslighting. So this whole idea of gaslighting is not a lot of therapists. They've heard the term, but don't understand it. Mm-hmm. So going into that, you know, last week, much deeper, probably helped not just our audience, but hopefully some counselors that were listening as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I know it helped in many ways. I heard many people wrote into the show, so we heard a lot of great feedback and, you know, helping others help mm-hmm. themselves, which is important, and that's what Relate Well is all about. So mm-hmm. we want to communicate better and communicate with kindness, which is what we're going to get into next.
Right.
But right now, the first part of the show, top of the show, I like to take off with questions. And these are questions that you've never seen before. I just pull them from our listeners and from our radio listeners and online.
Right.
So we never know who or what's going to write in and what it's going to be about. But I am going to start with Scott. And Scott's from Brunswick, Georgia. Scott says, what advice/encouragement do you have for someone whose spouse has checked out and no longer seems interested in being married?
Wow, that is a huge, broad question because it depends on what caused him to check out. So I can only speak in the generic here, as you well know. But so here's my first thought is, number one, ask them, and it takes a lot of vulnerability and courage. I really sense that we've lost our sense of us as we lost our connection. What have I done that has contributed to that? Not what have they done. Ask them, what have I done that has contributed to that? And then you need to listen. And this is really important, Scott, and for all of our listeners. When they tell you, do not get defensive.
Okay.
Do not get defensive. In other words, if you ask someone for information and they give it to you and you get defensive, first thing I'm going to think if I was in that person's shoes is, well, apparently you really didn't want to know, because if you wanted to know, you wouldn't get defensive. So why are you asking me for input only to defend yourself? You see? In other words, if you ask someone for information, you better listen. And then have a notepad, write down the things they say. And then, this is all about humility, by the way, one of our core words of living life. You have the humility to then go through that list of the things they said. And I wouldn't get defensive. I go, well, help me understand that more. So when you say I did that, how did I do that? What did I do that sent that message? I ask those kind of questions. I become a student of my spouse then to learn their perspective of what I've done and how they see me. And then what I do, I go down that list and I ask myself this question, and the question is very precise. It needs to be this way. To any degree, on any level, are they right about those things? To any degree, on any level, are they right? And if to any degree, to any level, they are right, then they're right.
There's no fighting, no arguing over that one.
And those are the things that need to change.
Okay.
Now, here's where our defensive will usually come into play. Someone, like I had a couple here not too long ago where they went and did this, and then he says to her, okay, to some degree, yes, it's true, I'm that way. And he said, but I may be 20% that way, not 80. And you could see her bow up, and I spoke for her, and I said, well, here's the problem you have, sir. He goes, what's that? What you call 20% of you is 90 to her. And therein lies the problem. You're minimizing her perspective of this. So you're saying, well, it's only 20. That's okay. Argue that all you want. But her relationship to you, it's 90%. And you might want to care.
What a great example.
And so
that puts things into perspective for us listeners.
It does.
Yeah.
Because I had to do this myself many years ago to ask those same things of myself in my own transformation. And then I realized that, wow, on some ways, I create who Luella is with me relationally by how I am as a way of being. It's like my mentor said to me a long time ago, Dr. Gordon, she said, you understand that you train Luella to be the way she is around you because of how you are as a way of being. You know, Dr. Phil says it's simpler on the show. He says, we teach people how to be around us. Mm-hmm. And if you teach someone to be around you in a way that they have to be guarded, distant, disconnected, they can't speak up because of how you are, then you shouldn't complain over time if they pull away from you. You're creating it yourself.
What an interesting way to look at it. So really, we all need to do this with partners.
It's the power of humility.
It's humility and learning and growing. So every relationship can probably grow this way. Sit down and I like how you put, let's talk about, I mean, it was us. Let's talk about what things changed with us, not
yes,
not me, not about me, not about you, but us. We lost us.
Yeah, it's the Righteous Brothers song. You've lost that love and feeling, right?
Yeah.
You always know when us is in the house because you feel its presence and you feel its absence. Everything you do gives to us or takes away from it. So if you've lost that connection, that idea, the sense of usness, ask yourself, what have I done to contribute to it? What we usually do is blame the partner for what they've done without having the courage to look in the mirror and asking, what have I done?
Wow, that's good. Good stuff.
Well, the power of humility
It
means I'm willing to have the courage to own my role rather than deflect my role. I'd rather own it.
Yeah, and I like the fact that you were talking about write it down and listen to what the other person has to say about the us or the loss of us, and just listen.
Right.
Just write it down, listen, digest it, and don't
ponder it.
Defend it.
Right. I said ponder it and then ask this question. To any degree, on any level, are they right about those things?
Right.
And if to any degree, on any level, they're still right, they're right, then they're right. Change it.
Change it. Make some changes. Or she went from checked out to it will be over. Right.
Exactly.
So,
and
okay.
Sadly, today, most divorces today are initiated by women. And it's been given a name in the mental health field. It's called walkaway wife syndrome. The women are leaving. They're the ones initiating the 3/4 of divorces today. But it's really because of the men. The men aren't connecting. They're not bonding. Eventually, she figures out, you really don't care about me. And so she starts to guard her heart and she plans an exit strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's probably because men are not the best open communicators because they're taught to hold their feelings in. And communication is really important.
And we're also taught as kids that if I have to admit that I need acceptance and approval and appreciation and need to be comforted, then I'm weak. And the reality is those are human biological relational needs. They are hardwired into us and be with us all our life. So to admit that I have those relational needs hardwired into my brain isn't a sign of weakness. It's just a sign that I'm human. And all human has those needs. Why not just give yourself to be human? Give yourself permission to be human. Mm-hmm. Rather than try something you can't be, which is Perfect.
And that's such a turn on for a woman to have a man who is connected to that, who actually can communicate his feelings and want to hear your feelings.
Yes.
So that's important. All right. Well, Scott, hopefully that helped you. And let's move on now from Melinda from Daytona Beach. And Melinda says, if your significant other is on their phone while in bed, is that acceptable or should beds be a no phone zone?
Well, let's see. According to
sign of the times,
according to Luella, it's a no phone zone.
Okay.
According to Rick Marks, you can listen to your iPad.
Oh no. Okay, so it depends.
That one hit too close to home. Next question.
Next question. We need Luella here.
We need Luella.
Your wife needs to shine some light on this one.
So here's what I've done. I think you negotiate issues, right? So, and I'm not saying I'm doing this perfectly, but I do believe I do it this way. Luella likes to have those things turned off, right? When we go to bed, but I usually stay later than her. So what I do is while she's still awake, laying in bed, and she'll actually read some emails and stuff, you know, look at Facebook on her phone as well. And I don't get bothered by that. But what I've learned was, you know, keep that off when it's that us time. And then when she rolls over to go to sleep, then I'll pick up my iPad and, you know, I love Investigation Discovery, all the crime shows, right?
Okay.
So I will then put on my headset so she didn't hear it. Uh-huh. And I'll watch some TV shows or, you know, or read something. I'm reading a book on Grant right now, General Ulysses Grant. And so I'll read, you see. And so I try to respect what she wants and give that to her because it's a good thing. It's good for us. And then if I stay up, because she says, look, you could read downstairs, read in bed then. I'll just roll over. It's okay. So I think you just have to negotiate it. A couple needs to negotiate those things so it works for us. So in this case, if she's saying it's a no, negotiate. Well, is it that you don't want it all, or is it that because when you're in bed, you're neglecting me?
And that's what I would think. It's family
she
time.
She feels neglected, right?
So together,
say, listen, what if I want to be next to you and I want to read or do whatever, but what if I keep it off while you're still awake, and then when you really go to sleep, I'll stay in bed to be close to you. Maybe I'm going to get on my device and do whatever I do.
Mm-hmm.
You see. That's called negotiating, and you negotiate a win-win for the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. All right. Well, there you go, Melinda. That was the answer for your phone in bed zone.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to end this one here, I think, and then we're going to come back with some really good stuff about kindness. Because I think this is something that we need to address in today's society. So stay tuned. You are listening to Relate Well with Dr. Rick.
A healthy, nurtured relationship is key in making your life whole. Yet for most, that perfect relationship is elusive. In Relationships for Life, marriage and family counselor and acclaimed speaker, Dr. Rick Marks, offers proven principles and skills for caring and mature relationships. Dr. Rick shares personal experiences from growing up in a broken home and how vulnerability led to healing in his own life. The book is a unique perspective packed with faith-based and clinical insights for making a relationship work. Relationships for Life is for anyone who wants to create and maintain healthy relations in every aspect of life. Available as a digital download in hardback and paperback on Amazon and in the web store at drrickmarks.com.
Welcome back to Relate Well with Dr. Rick. I'm Angelia Savage, your co-host. And if you're thinking it might be a better society if everyone would just be kind to one another, then this is definitely going to be your segment because that's what we're going to be talking about today is kindness. Kindness goes a long way, don't you think?
Yes, it does. Matter of fact, it's the second trait of love mentioned in the scriptures in 2 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is
kind. Absolutely it is.
I think Ellen DeGeneres, you know, says something at the end of her shows regularly. She always says, you know, be kind.
She does, doesn't she?
And you think about the power of that statement. Be kind to others, you know. She got blasted in the press during the election when she made some comments about Trump that were positive. She's being kind. She's being true to who she is. Whether she agrees with you or not, she's learned that the greater way to live life is to be kind, you see. And love is kind. And we've lost that in our culture today, you know? And I think maybe it's something that needs to be recaptured, to be kind to others.
Well, let's talk about that, because Mayo Clinic had an article on kindness. Mm-hmm. And it's more than a behavior.
Right.
It's so much more, and it has so many more benefits to it, which I don't think a lot of people think about. Certainly, I didn't think about it. So let's talk about some of the benefits of being kind.
Yeah. So I'm going to read the definition that they gave, because I found it fascinating that Mayo has been writing articles in their system and for their employees around being kind. And I found that to be fascinating. Not too long ago, there is a kindness project going on in Singapore. I've since learned there's other places around the world that are doing it. But this video, and you can find them on YouTube, just type in kindness project and you'll find them. But this one was so moving, and I probably got to relate to it because my daughter lived in Dubai. Dubai is being built by internationals. So people come from the Philippines or India, and they're living in these conditions, 8 to 10 in a room, and they're building those big old buildings. Well, in Singapore, it's happening too. You've got people from like Taiwan or Thailand or the Philippines or India going to Singapore, and these people leave their family, they leave their friends, and basically live 8 to 10 in a room, maybe a two-bedroom apartment, 8 to 10 at a time, and they just work. And they're the secret group behind all the
buildings
and all that's going on in Singapore.
Uh-huh.
And so the Singapore government realized we need to be kind to them. And so they partnered. Now, the video, I admit there's a corporate thing for Coca-Cola as well. But what happened was the Kindness Project had citizens of Singapore write caring notes to all these people. And then what they did, they took crates of Coca-Cola and they inserted all these caring notes from people saying, thank you for helping my country. Thank you for building our buildings. All those kinds of things, right? And they had hundreds of drones pick up a crate of Coke and they flew them to these buildings. One person who was interviewed goes, I'd never seen a helicopter before. You know, it was a drone, right?
Uh-huh.
And the drone flew up high and landed, released it, and the people were kind of looking at it, right? And they opened it up, and there's these Cokes, and they're reading these notes, and you see the smiles on their face. And I thought, that's what America needs. We need a kindness project today. I think with our devices and all the things that are taking place to get us more focused on ourselves, and let's be honest, the more you focus on yourself, the less kind you'll become. But this is what Mayo defined it as. It says the art, they wrote here, the art of kindness means harboring a spirit of helpfulness, as well as being generous and considerate and doing so without expecting anything in return. That's powerful.
That's the key, right? Without expecting.
I do this just out of a spirit of giving, right? Scripture says that we give with a joyful spirit, right? Not as an expectation to get, right? And then it said this. Kindness is a quality of being. In other words, God doesn't have love. God is love. You hear the difference in that?
Yes.
I tell people, don't have integrity, be integrity. All right? Don't have goodwill, be goodwill. Don't have respect, be respect. Same thing. Love is kind. Love doesn't have kindness. It is kind. So since God is love and love is kind, God is kind. It's a way of being. So you have to develop yourself and position your heart to being a person of patience, being a person of kindness. And the last thing they says here is this. The act of giving kindness often is simple, free, positive, and healthy. And I just love that little definition that they gave around kindness. Now, the research on kindness is fascinating. So we know what the theology is around it. Love is patient, love is kind, right? We know it from a biblical worldview.
But there's health benefits from it.
It's good
for
the body.
That's the best part. I think that's what people don't really consider. It's good for us to be kind to somebody else.
Yeah, we saw that last week when you talked about patience.
Yeah.
And what the brain research shows around what patience does for a person. It allows them to live in a state of peace. It increases serotonin in their brain. Well, same thing here, that we know that when you live a life of kindness as a way of being, and that's the phrase my mentor always used with me, as a way of being, you actually increase your self-esteem. You increase your ability to be empathic and compassionate for others. And you can change your mood. You can change mood. Like we did research, we did once before a radio show on gratitude. Mm-hmm. And that when you're in gratitude, it's hard to be angry and it's hard to be afraid in a spirit of gratitude. Same thing that when you become...
Can't laugh and cry at the same time.
Exactly. You when you're in a spirit of kindness, when kindness is a way of being for you, you're actually a positive energy. You actually have more positive emotions than negative emotions, you see.
I thought one of the most interesting parts, if you have high blood pressure, this actually decreases your blood pressure. How cool is that?
Yeah, because think of what's the opposite of kindness? Being unkind. And unkindness has all forms of emotions. Anger, fear, resentment, bitterness, all that's unkind. You see, what does that do? It stresses the body, increases cortisol, which is not something you want in your body long term, right? All of those are stress responses. It makes you angry. It makes you afraid. Why not do yourself a favor and move to kindness and do your body good?
I think that's a great idea. I mean, release some cortisol, some stress hormones. So, I don't know, they say you gain weight with cortisol levels being high, so you could lose some weight.
Yeah.
And lose some of the, take down the blood pressure, and then, I don't know, be a healthy, happy, skinny human being. How about that? From just being kind to someone.
I have a family member who I love dearly, and she'll call me sometimes, or I may be in the vehicle with her. And somebody does something or things aren't going her way, and she immediately moves to impatience and unkindness.
Like,
why are you doing that? And she'll just, why? And I go, what is it about you that allows that person to rob you of your joy? What is it about you that allows you to let that person rob you of your peace right here, right now? I mean, think about it. Road rage is just unkind, you know? I always tell people, jokingly, I say, you know, God is love and love is kind, right? And so you're driving down the road and someone cuts you off in traffic, right? And of course, we're Christians and we want to live a life representative of God's heart. You know, we want to love well. And I always say, you know, like I said last week, we have to practice patience. You get opportunities to practice kindness. So when that person cuts you off in traffic, it's almost like unconsciously your brain says, that person woke up this morning just to do that to me today. I mean, it's like your brain goes, you did that intentionally to me. Well, they don't know you. They don't care about you. They're just being who they are. So when someone cuts you off in traffic, you get unkind, you speed up, and you're staring at them, right? You're glaring at them. And the only reason I know this is because something similar to this happened to me a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And the Spirit said to me, what are you being right now? And I went, unkind. And the Spirit said, do you know that I let this happen in your life right here, right now, so you can practice kindness? Because you did say you want my heart, didn't you, Rick? Yes, sir. This is happening in your life, so you can practice kindness. So why don't you pull it over and let that person move on? Oh, yeah. An opportunity to practice kindness. That person doesn't know me, could care less about me. And they did not do that to me. They just did it because that's what they did. It wasn't about me, but my brain made it about me. So I responded with unkindness. And I began to realize every single day I get opportunities to practice kindness, you see. And in those situations, now I jokingly say it this way, then it's almost like, well, if you're going to continue to do that, Rick, then take the Jesus Loves You bumper sticker off your car.
Yeah,
because
right.
You're misrepresenting me right now.
Yeah, not living.
Yeah,
because you're
misrepresenting
me.
I don't live that way. I'm kind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the real tricks is to be kind to those that hurt you, to be kind to those that seek to harm you. That doesn't mean you allow them to, but you can always respond with kindness, you see.
I think God's testing you sometimes. Whenever I'm standing in line and there's someone behind me, I remember not too long ago, there was someone behind me and he was huffing and puffing in line. And he wanted to get up there. It was at the grocery store. He wanted to get it. He was, because somebody was taking too long. And I mean, his energy was draining me just behind me. And he started talking on the phone. Oh, it's taking forever, and going on his phone. And honestly, I didn't want to hear it anymore. And I didn't want to absorb his negative energy. So I, in turn, was so kind to him and said, you know what? Would you like to go ahead? I think that you're in more of a hurry than I am. And so he's like, yeah. And, you know, was snippy with me. And then all of a sudden, something changed in him. And his tune changed. And he turned around and said, thank you for letting me go ahead of you. And he was so nice. And then he was in turn nice to the cashier whenever he did get up there. And so as negative energy, I think, is, you know, things that are just very contagious, I also feel like kindness is contagious.
Yes, it is. Matter of fact, one of the other things that Mayo points out is that kindness is good for the mind. They actually point out that it actually will change your brain. It increases the feel-good chemicals of serotonin and dopamine, mm-hmm. which when I act that way, I start to feel better about me in the situation. But I also think, like in this case, it made him start to feel a little guilt and made him just start rethinking.
Maybe, yes. You know, that's true. Guilt set
who am I? You know, that kind of thing. So we know it's good for the mind. It, you know, it helps with those good endorphins.
Yeah.
Kindness, really, you got to be kind to yourself, be kind to others, right? I always say, you know, people who respect others have learned to respect themselves. If you don't respect other people, then you've learned not to respect yourself. Same thing. Be kind to yourself, you know. Give yourself grace, I'll tell people. So what, you messed up, give yourself grace, right? Like the other person, you know, so you gossip, so what? Give yourself grace. That's not who you are as a way of being, right? You made a mistake, whatever. Give yourself grace. Be kind to yourself. That kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, let it go. Move on. Just yeah. Let it go, right? And think about kindness as kindness always takes an action.
What do you mean? It takes an action.
It takes action. In other words, kindness is not something I just feel. It's something that I do.
Okay.
Something that I do. You know, you always hear this term, pay it forward, pay it forward.
Yeah.
So he paid it forward. He was kind to the lady up in front, I mean the cashier, right? Because you're kind to him, so he's kind to her, paying it forward.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I like to do to spread kindness is, and one of my habits is that, let's say I go to a Dunkin' to get an iced tea or something like that, I always ask the person at the window, the car behind me, I said, put their tab on mine. All right? And then I
– What time are you going to Dunkin' tomorrow? I'll be behind you.
Yeah. Pull it by me. And I do. I do that. And I just drive off.
Uh-huh.
I just drive off knowing that that one act of kindness is going to have some meaning to that person today.
Yeah. And they may pay it forward.
They may pay it forward mm-hmm. or not. But in one, yeah. in some way, you know, when you spread joy, you reap joy. When you spread kindness, you reap kindness, right?
Yeah.
So the whole principle behind giving is that – you reap what you sow.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just sow patience and kindness in you? Sow that. So you reap it back. You see?
Yeah.
So I love to go and be kind to others like that. One, it benefits me, it benefits them. And I just know, all right, Lord, then, you know, if I sow this, I reap this. Why would I want to hurt myself? Same kind. If I sow unkindness, I reap unkindness. Why would I want to hurt myself?
Absolutely.
I don't want to live that way.
Well, on that note, I'm going to be kind and go to break, but we are going to be back in a minute, and we're going to continue talking about more kindness. So stay tuned. You're listening to Relate Well with Dr. Rick.
Healthy, loving relationships are essential for a happy life. On Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks and co-host Angelia Savage, you'll learn the principles for healthy, mature relationships. They share personal journeys, biblical and clinical insights that will challenge and inspire you to create fulfilling relationships in every aspect of life. Sundays at 5 p.m. on 97.1 The Truth and ilovethetruth.com. When we relate well, we will live well. And to live well, we must relate well.
Welcome back to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks. I'm Angelia Savage. I'm your co-host. And we were earlier in the show, we were talking about kindness and how important it was and the effects of kindness on the body.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk a little bit more about that, but I want to go into meditation.
Yeah.
Because Mayo Clinic, the article that they wrote was really interesting. It was saying that you need to be kind to yourself through meditation.
Yeah, they called it loving kindness meditation. And for our listeners, I'd like to just point out that from a biological standpoint, meditation, prayer, and this new thing called mindfulness you hear, which is really about a meditation just to keep you focused on the present – all three of those in the brain are the same thing. They have different names. But true meditation is what Jesus would meditate. He would pray. He would pray. He was mindful. He's all three of those because I think they're all three the same. But the meditation that they're in prayer, I like the word prayer, you know, but how you want to call it, it needs to be focused on loving kindness, being a loving kind person. I don't have a problem with that because most of us allow ourselves to let that little voice in our head that puts us down, tears us down all the time. We listen to that voice. But if we start to listen to a voice that says, wait a minute, I can be a better person. I can be a more loving person. I can be a more patient person. Somehow that's positive thinking and that's bad. Uh-uh. We're fearfully, wonderfully made, right? How marvelous are your thoughts of me? And besides, the greatest of these is love, 1 Corinthians says, right? Faith, there remains faith, hope, and love. So part of that journey, there we go. So for our listeners, we heard that ring right there. And it wasn't for me. How about that?
It was the unknown.
It was the unknown.
It was the unknown kindness monitor.
God calling us, right?
Those darn phones.
Phone ringing. Yeah. So that's what I always loved about Rush Limbaugh's show, you know? He would just cough, he needed to, and just went on, right? He didn't.
Yeah.
Who
just
cares?
Keep going.
Just
keep going.
Who cares?
Keep rolling.
So the idea behind loving kindness is that it's a quiet contemplative practice that focuses on thought on your heart region and encourages warm, tender thoughts, really about yourself and others, right? Quit beating yourself up. Begin to focus on how much the Lord loves you, how much you can be lovable, how much people love you. Focus on the people that you love. Focus on the things that you could do that day at work, you see? And I love that they call it loving kindness, you know, right? God is love, right? Love is patient. Love is kind. Loving kindness is they're kind of emphasizing that, hey, if we as employees really begin to meditate to be loving kind people, what difference is that going to make in how we treat patients, how we treat each other as fellow employees, right? You know, our customer is not just the patient. Our customers are the people in the pharmacy or the customer down in OR. The different divisions are customers to each other because they work as a system. And so I really found that fascinating that they are encouraging their people in a loving kindness meditation, prayer, mindfulness, whatever phrase you want to use, so that you develop yourself, become that kind of a person, so you can live that out in the workplace.
But when they say meditation, because I think meditation scares a lot of people. Honestly, because they either don't know how to do it, not interested, or, you know, just not part of their everyday life. When they say meditation, do they just mean focus or do they mean literally sit there, look at a wall, think blank thoughts and meditate on kindness?
So blank thoughts would not be meditation. All right. That's clearing your mind.
Okay.
Meditation's always focused. All right. Now, one way you get there is you regulate your heart. Calm your heart down. Begin to regulate your heart. Slow down. And you do that by breathing.
Mm-hmm.
So one way you can begin to meditate is slow your breathing down and begin to focus on being kind. All right? That's a great thing because love is kind. Why would we not want to focus and meditate on being a kind person? Why? Because the more kind I am, the more I represent Father's heart to the world because he is love and love is kind. So he's kind. I think you can also do this around patience or any of the 15 traits of love that are mentioned there. Or if you have an area of your life you want to improve on, I would still argue patience and kindness will help you improve those things, right? Because to do that, you got to have goodwill, respect, humility, and empathy. So begin to take 15, 20 minutes, calm your heart down, you know, allow yourself to focus not on the cares of the world or what's going on in the day, allow yourself to be present to yourself and to what's around you, just be fully present, and then to meditate on kindness. What would it mean to be kind today? How could I be more kind? You know, Father, what areas of my life do I find myself most treating people in unkind ways? Picture yourself treating them differently, right, in that situation today. If this happens, I'm going to see myself take a deep breath and do this rather than what I usually do in my reactive self, which is unkind. I think all of those things are positive because what we're actually doing is we're going to start deepening into our soul and our spirit, Father's heart, and how we want to live that out. So I really like the idea of loving kindness meditation, not just for Mayo employees. I think we all need it, and particularly those of us who walk in the body of Christ.
Society as a whole would be wonderful.
Very much so.
Everyone would walk in the land of kindness throughout the day, that would be wonderful. We would all get along so much better. But what about kindness inward? creating a kindness environment for yourself and meditating on kindness towards yourself, you know, accepting yourself and being kind to yourself, kind words to yourself, kind affirmations. Do we get the same, I guess, high, if you will, of the serotonin and the dopamine, being kind to yourself as well?
I think that's,
or is that just totally different?
No, I think it's a piece of it, because you can't respect others if you don't respect yourself, right?
Okay.
You can't be kind to others if you're not kind to yourself. To be compassionate towards others requires self-compassion, right? You give people grace, give yourself grace. Give yourself grace, you see? I think the principle applies, because you love your neighbor as you love your
self.
Well, to love yourself, you got to be patient with yourself. You got to be kind to yourself. Quit being rude to yourself, right? Don't do those 15 crazy. Why? Father doesn't do that to you, because the psalmist says he has, how marvelous are your thoughts of me. Change your thoughts of yourself to what he thinks of you. He thinks you're wonderful. He thinks you're lovable. He thinks you're great. He thinks you're awesome.
Well, then right? We are.
Exactly, because he declares that we are.
We are.
You know, and so live out what is actually true. And the interesting thing about their research on loving kindness meditation was this. The health benefits pointed out that this type of meditation or prayer reduces tension from migraines and headaches. It reduces symptoms of depression. And Mayo says it actually slows down the aging process. You don't age as fast.
All the more reason. Forget about those lotions and potions. Just be kind to each other.
Because to be kind is to be a mature, caring person.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of person lives a life that's very different than the immature person who creates a lot of angst for themselves and others.
And I thought it was interesting. So if you're giving kindness to other people, you're giving them grace, you actually have more life satisfaction.
Yes.
Within yourself.
Yes, because you're more peace with yourself. And besides, you're being who you want to be. You're being congruent, right? I mean, let's be honest. When you serve other people, it makes you feel good. I think that's the truth when Scripture says it's better to give than receive. You know? Because in giving to others, there's a great joy.
I think this is so easy to see, or for children to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we always did this in junior high school and elementary school. Everyone's kind to one another and teach kindness. But as adults, then you become more self-centered, and it's not about everyone else. It's just about yourself. So unless you're on a mission trip, or you have a reason to give kindness and pay it forward, I don't think it's practiced on a daily basis.
No, and the risk of sounding arrogant is not meant to. I actually look forward to each day to do something for someone, you know, and to you can call it pay it forward. But I love serving others and finding something that brings joy. It's like I met one of my son's friends here in D.C., and he's from Ireland. But he has a fascination as a boy with the American Civil War. So I got to meet him a week and a half ago. And we talked about the Civil War, and he's asking me about battlefields. I'm actually giving him two leather-bound editions of a very famous work on the Civil War by Shelby Foote. And they're brand new still. I mean, I've never really opened them. They were given to me. I'm giving those to him. He knows that. But one of the things I really know is going to bring him joy is I found a print of the Irish Brigade by Mort Kunstler. I'm having it mounted on a canvas and sent to him this week.
Oh, wow. He's going to love that.
He doesn't know it's coming. And is that an act of kindness? Yes. It brings me more joy knowing that when he gets that, he has something that represents his homeland, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Civil War. And that he's just going to, it'll be something that's meaningful to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's more pleasing for me knowing I could bless him.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's where life satisfaction comes in.
It is.
Giving to someone else and reaping the benefits of giving to him, which he's going to enjoy and you're going to enjoy the benefits from.
Yes.
But we were talking about books that you're giving away. We also need to talk about your book.
Relationships for Life, yeah.
You have a book yourself, and it's on Amazon.
You can get it at Amazon or drrickmarks.com.
Mm-hmm.
It is all of my thinking on healthy relationships. It's for anybody, so it's not a marriage book. And it's just, you know, my story of what I've learned and principles and skills, how to have a healthy, loving, connected relationship with anybody.
Yeah. So anybody can get that on Amazon or relatewell.us.
Yep. Relationship for Life, Richard Marks.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, we are going to take a break right now. You are listening to Relate Well with Dr. Rick. We'll be back in a moment.
To have and to hold from this day forward. Your wedding day was the biggest commitment of your life. Relationships change over time. Needs go unmet. Communication breaks down. And half of all marriages end in divorce. If till death do us part has become a challenge, then it's time to reconcile and reconnect. In his 1 to 3 day marriage intensives, Dr. Rick Marks coaches couples in distress back to their love and hope for a future together. Dr. Rick's intensives is not traditional therapy. Marriage intensives give couples the skills for communication, problem solving, emotional regulation, as well as the skills for healthy bonding and much more. Intensives empower couples to create the marriage they desire with Dr. Rick's Relate Well principles and tools, keeping couples out of the divorce graveyard.
I realized many years ago with the team that I work with that if we can teach people those skills for bonding and reattachment and communication and problem solving and emotional regulation and much more, it gives you the hope again, which can lead to the goodness and the love and the feelings and the intimacy so that you win. Your usness, your marriage wins, and your kids win.
87% of the couples who participated in Dr. Rick's marriage intensives reconnected their love for each other and remained married.
If you want to take the opportunity, you have the will to do it, you want to do it, and you want to save it, we'll show you how.
Intensives are cheaper than a divorce and much more meaningful. Save your marriage. Reconnect your love. Save a generation and secure your future. For more information, visit drrickmarks.com or call 904-724-8683.
Welcome back to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks. I'm Angelia Savage, your co-host, and we have talked about some good things today. Mm-hmm. We've talked about kindness and what it really means to give kindness and what it means when you feel that back. Because you've given kindness, you've actually helped yourself. You've helped yourself with health benefits. You've helped yourself just as a whole, what you look like in society, what you feel like, and just kind of how you float around.
Yeah.
And you feel better.
And that kindness is a way of being, ultimately.
Yeah.
You know, God is love. Love is patient. Love is kind. So, you know, is Rick, am I kind or do I have kindness? You know, can someone say, no, Rick is kind. No, Rick has kindness, but he himself isn't kind. He uses it when he wants to. You see, very different that when you are kindness, then no matter what you do is kind. And so when you look at culture today, I don't see a lot of kindness in culture.
No,
today.
It's hatred. It's everyone. I feel like attacking everyone. There is no kindness out there.
Yeah, you look at this, you know, we can step back and just say the last 2 years, you know, politically, we can kind of camp there. The unkindness that you've seen in political parties towards each other, even within political parties, there's unkindness with disagreements, right? This faction to that faction. I mean, sadly, I had Christian friends who are unkind to other Christians because they disagreed with them politically. And I'm sitting back watching this going, is it any wonder why the culture questions our ability to love when they see us being unkind to each other? You think, well, why would they question that? Because love is kind. The second trait of the 15 traits. And if you are unkind on a regular basis, people are going to question whether you're loving or not because love never treats people in unkind ways.
And is that in person that they're unkind, or is that on social media?
Oh, all of the above, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All the ones we didn't talk about. Yes, the way that we attack people. And I saw a video yesterday, and someone wrote, this is what people look like on social media. And it was two dogs, and they're snarling and barking at each other, but there's a gate in between them. All right? So the gate's in between them, and they're just going out at each other, right? And then the gate slowly opens, and now there's no gate between them, and they both just stared at each other.
Oh, isn't that great?
They just stared at each other.
Yeah, I like that.
And then they closed the gate again,
And then they started attacking each other again.
Yeah. And they said, this is social media. You know, social media is that gate where we can be mean to each other.
Right.
But if we put each other in where there's no gate between us, would you do the same thing?
That's
no.
So
and there
funny.
Are these two dogs. And this person. And I went, that's true.
Yeah.
This is what that unkindness looks like. You know, we mistreat people, and we say things that are unkind and disrespectful. And I sit back and watch what's being said on social media. Listen, what you see in the pulpits today, some of the things that pastors are saying about other groups that are unkind, mm-hmm. or other denominations, a mom being unkind to a dad or a dad being unkind to a mom on a regular basis. What message does that send to kids about what those people believe in their faith?
Yeah. I mean, how are these long-term effects going to affect us as a nation?
Well, let's
our
be
society.
Honest. Unkindness breeds division. That's all it does. And where there's division, there will be a collapse. Because Scripture is clear. A house divided cannot stand. That means it will divorce or break. And a nation divided against itself will not stand. And then when you see the unkindness that we see existing among denominations, and let's be honest, denomination is just another word for division. And what divides us are issues of no bearing on eternity. Tongues versus no tongues, who cares? Doesn't send you to hell. Leave it alone, right? And so the way we treat each other, because you're not in my faction versus this faction, like, don't you all both love Jesus? Yes. Then why don't you just let that be your source of relationship? Because we do more in unity. Patience and kindness brings unity into relationships. And so, and we're supposed to live in such a way, Romans 12:18, we're supposed to live in such a way that we bring peace to relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul says it this way, if at all possible, as far as it concerns you, live at peace with all men. Well, if you live a life of patience and kindness with people, you're bringing peace to a relationship. Now, they may not want to have a relationship with you, but at least you're living in such a way that brings peace to the relationship. And,
yeah.
I always have to ask myself, am I bringing peace to this relationship or not?
Yeah, peace, kindness, and joy. If we could spread that, then that's all we need.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's fulfilling in every way. That's what we need. But thinking of mm-hmm. kindness, does that actually maybe stem from judgment?
Wow. I think it's a piece of it. I think that's a piece of it. When we're unkind, we'll judge. When we're unkind, we'll be critical. When we're unkind, we'll sneer at someone. When we're unkind, let's be honest. Unkindness is ultimately about yourself. Impatience is ultimately about yourself. Because love is always about others, right? So the opposite of those is really focusing on you. And what God is really calling us to do is to live a life outside of yourself and go serve others. Patience and kindness is about other people. It's not just about you. I say it's about us. It's about a relationship, you see? Why would I want to be impatient and kind to you? Why? I don't just hurt you, Angelia. I hurt our relationship. I don't want to hurt the relationship. I enjoy us. And so whenever you move to unkindness, yeah, you're judging, you're critical. You could be sneering. Who knows? It's so many different pieces of it. I do know this, though. As I watch our country and I watch the church and I watch families today being unkind to each other, if you keep that up on a regular basis as a way of being, that's my phrase, which means it's a pattern, you shouldn't complain when you get unkindness back because you will reap what you sow. Or Jim Rohn put it this way many years ago. He said, the very things you are reaping in your life right now is because you've been sowing it all along.
That's exactly true with everything.
Very much so.
Yeah, that's exactly true. I think of whenever somebody pulls out in front of somebody on the highway when
mm-hmm.
you're driving. Someone will just pull right out in front of somebody. I'm like, oh my gosh, they just pulled right out in front of that person. And then 2 seconds later, someone else pulls out in front of that person. And you're like, that's exactly what happens. When you're unkind to someone else, that will come right back. Call it karma. Call it whatever you want to call it. But it comes right back at you.
It does.
What you put out there is what you get back.
And so it is very important that we recognize that we create around us what's around us because of how we are as a way of being. You see, I do influence Luella to be who she is. I do influence my kids who they are based on how I am as a way of being. Well, why not choose to live a life of, you know, I call it goodwill, respect, humility, empathy, which when you live that way, you'll become a patient person because to be impatient, you'll treat people with ill will and you'll treat people disrespectfully, and you definitely won't be caring. And you'll treat people with kindness. And kindness is a powerful way to live life. Kind people aren't really bothered by other people's unkindness. Why? Mm-hmm. Go be who you want to be.
And don't you need to have empathy to be kind to someone?
Very much so. And kindness actually creates compassion and empathy in a person's heart.
And you feel like you've got to put yourself in their position. You've mm-hmm. got to have empathy and understanding for whatever circumstance they may be going through. And you've got to be able to read your environment to realize that everybody's going through something.
Right.
Everyone.
Right.
So why not be kind to everyone else?
I remember quite a couple years ago, I was angry about some things that were going on. I was working at a church, and I was being mistreated by the leaders, particularly the pastors. I was treated in a very unkind way, even so much that one of them put me down by name from the pulpit in a sermon. It was very unkind. And back in those days, this is back in the 90s, my way of dealing with that was by being passively aggressive, you see. And so I would do things that were passive aggressive back because I was angry and hurt by the way I was being treated. Because one of them had unjustly judged me a certain way. And then the Spirit said to me, I didn't ask you to change him. I asked you to love him the way he is. And by the way, when he does that to you and you do what you're doing back, you're no different. I had to take a deep breath.
And let it out.
And I went to, And I went to one of my mentors and I said, here's what's going on. Mm-hmm. I've kept it a secret, but here's the way I'm being treated. But I am doing these kinds of things back. And my mentor just listened. And he said, okay. And then I said, I've made a decision that I'm not going to do those things anymore. If I have to take it, I have to take it. But I'm not going to respond in like manner anymore. I'm going to respond back with kindness no matter what. And my mentor smiled at me and said, you'll be more mature for it. And I said, I know. And I quit doing those things because I was hurt and angry. And so my way of dealing with it was be unkind back. And the reality is,
well, I think that's the natural thing. When someone is unkind to you, the natural thing is to be unkind back because you're hurt.
Yes. And that's our sinful state, to want to get back.
Right.
And yet, for those of us who bear the name of Christ, we're actually called to love the enemy. Do good to those who hurt you. That requires a way of living far beyond ourselves, doesn't it? And that also requires maturity. It also requires me learning when to speak up and when not to speak up. Some things I'm thinking or feeling should not be shared. The old Jewish proverb says, a fool appears wise when he keeps his mouth shut. Some things I need to keep shut and
sometimes
not speak.
We do, yes,
it's
sometimes.
Unkind, it's unkind to say it, you know?
Yeah, just
and wisdom,
keep it under your hat.
Exactly. And wisdom are the things that allow you to go, all right, do you want to come across as kind or unkind right now? I'd rather be kind. Why? At least I'm loving. You know, does that mean we'll have a relationship with that person? No, probably not. But at least as far as it concerns me, I'm walking in where I'm not living with guilt and shame for things that I've done and having to go repent on all the time. I can say, you know, Lord, he treated me like this, but I'm just so glad that I have the maturity to not react, but I can respond in love.
Yeah, I think that's interesting what you were talking about earlier with the dogs and saying that they were ready to just go at each other's throats. But imagine if one dog was just ready to fight, reared up and, you know, spewing all kinds of negative energy, and the other one just sat there and looked at that other dog like, you're an idiot.
Yeah, you try to think it to yourself.
I'm just going to sit right here and act like a mature adult and just sit here in kindness And and they always say you get more with honey than you do. What is the saying? Sugar
with
than
vinegar.
No, honey than vinegar. So, yeah, I mean, so I think that that's a good thing, just to sit there in kindness and not to go back with what is handed to you.
And sometimes kindness means you don't speak up, because wisdom would dictate you don't, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think about Jesus when he was hauled before Pilate the first time. He first went before Caiaphas, and he answered some of Caiaphas' questions. Then he was sent to Pilate. He answered Pilate. Then Pilate sent him to Herod the king. Herod didn't care about Jesus. Herod was trying to exploit him. Oh, I heard about you. Do some miracles. Jesus never said a word to the man. Why? You don't care about me. And if I engage you in conversation, it's not going to go anywhere. And then we'll both be frustrated. So I'm not going to say a word. He did engage the fool in his folly. Because to talk to him would be just unkind. It wouldn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. So Jesus realized, no, I'm not going to talk to you. You see? And it was the kindest thing to do. So I think when we talk about kindness, and we talked about patience last week, you know, those two traits of love, love is patient and love is kind. We spent time these last 2 weeks talking about those two traits, not just from the scripture, but from a well-rounded standpoint of research is showing it's a powerful way to live life, that people who are healthy and mature are people who live a life of patience and kindness. People who are immature tend to be impatient and unkind, you see, which is right where Relate Well is a process. We want people to become healthy, mature adults so they can relate well, right? And the way you relate well is through, you know, goodwill, respect, humility, empathy. And when I live out of those four things, I'll practice patience and kindness as a way of being.
Yep. And if you would like to learn to lead a life through the four protectors in all of your relationships and learn how to develop the tools that create us in your marriage, us in your family, or even us in the workplace, then register for online Relate Well Core Program. You can register for Relate Well as a single or couple, and just register online today with RelateWell.us. That's RelateWell.us. And if you're looking for private relationship counseling or life coaching from Dr. Rick himself, then call 904-724-8683. That's 904-724-8683. Well, this has been another informative show from us right here at Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks to help you live the best life. And remember, until next week, relate well to live well.
We want to invite you to visit relatewell.us. Whether you're single or a couple, come learn what a healthy relationship looks like and then put it into practice. For relationship counseling, contact Dr. Rick at relatewell.us.